This is Mitch McGarry of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're listening to the Down to Dunk Podcast.
Welcome to the Down to Dunk Podcast. This is your host, Andrew Schlecht, and with me is John Hamm talking about buyout guys and about how great Dion Waiters is today. John, how you doing?
Oh, this is going to be fun. I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm awesome. We can address this first. Dion has not been good, right?
No, he has not. I just looked at the shooting splits for February, and it is not good.
Yeah, he's been really bad, and it makes you wonder if they're going to try anything different. My guess is that they won't, is that they'll continue to give him a shot because he has had good months. But he's certainly not playing well right now.
Yeah. And, you know, too, like, I mean, I was looking, he's not the only one. I mean, Anthony Morrow has struggled in the month of February as well. That's not helping matters. The one guy who seems to be consistent month to month, no matter what, Enes Kanter.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty solid. I know the past couple of games have been, have left me lacking a little bit because I feel like he's been a little soft and probably could be a little more aggressive. But otherwise, he's been solid. But Morrow and Waiters have really struggled in February.
They have, and the Morrow's the guy that you're just like, you know, why don't they just plug him in? Like, why aren't they playing him more? Like, why isn't it? And it's like, well, he can't play defense. This is well established. Right. And if he's not shooting, then what is he doing? Nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. So, you know, and I don't know what to make of if this is just the typical swim. I mean, Morrow had a rough January last season.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
Rondae Robertson is apparently ready to come back.
It seems.
So I would assume that they'll plug him right back in the starting lineup. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I've thought that as well. I thought it was a little odd that he was active yesterday, but DNP'd. So, like, I'm standing out in the hallway. I'm chatting with Royce and Cliff Brunt from the AP. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Andre just goes zooming by us, like jogging down the hallway. And, you know, Cliff hollered out, "How you doing?" And I forgot if he said, like, he was solid or, you know, he responded in some way.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, and, you know, he was not limping as he was running down the hallway. He looked like he was fit and ready to go. So it was a little unusual that they didn't even, you know, put him out there at all. I kind of thought maybe he's healthy, bring him off the bench for a game or two, get him some minutes, and then put him back into the starting lineup. But, you know, things seem to be a little bit in flux, especially trying to get Foy integrated as well.
Right. Did you expect to see Randy Foy see as much time as he did yesterday?
Not quite that much. No.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised at where he came in the rotation, too.
Yeah, and, you know, clearly he's he needs some more time with the team. That's understandable.
Yeah.
It's a good thing they didn't throw him out there against Indiana. He just had one walkthrough.
Right.
But really, he's had one practice with the team so far. So given that they've got a couple of days off, you know, there's a little bit more time for him to get comfortable. But, yeah, that's going to be a work in progress.
Yeah, it's... I like Randy Foy. I think that he could be a rotation player for the Thunder if all things go right. He's had a horrible year shooting so far. He's had a worse shooting season than Dion Waiters, which is kind of hard to imagine, but it is the actual truth. But the one stat that I found that was really interesting, there's a stat called open plus frequency. And according to this stat, on the whole season, he has been the least open player on the Thunder and in the top five of the least open players in the entire league. So you got to wonder, like he's not a focal point on this team, and he's barely even a guy on this team. So he's going to get open shots. Like Anthony Morrow is the least open player on the team, followed very closely by Kevin Durant. And then Dion Waiters, but Foy's number is even crazier than those guys. He's at a 24.42 for his open frequency. Kevin Durant's at a 30.68 for his open plus frequency. So you've got to, that's going to change pretty rapidly, especially if he plays minutes.
Yeah, and that's one thing talking with someone from the Thunder yesterday that, you know, it's very difficult or unfair to judge him based on what he did in Denver, because like you said, those looks are going to be much different here in Oklahoma City. You know, in Denver, he's playing alongside a rookie point guard and, mm-hmm. you know, Danilo Gallinari and Kenneth Faried and all of the European big men that they've got. They've got some nice players there, but still, you know, that's a rebuilding team. So I would hope that, you know, we might see a better product out of Foyer when he gets some actual open looks.
Yeah.
So.
And even on that team that's not that great defensively, like his defensive numbers come out pretty nicely. He kind of projects as somewhere in like the sixth or seventh best defender as far as metrics go on the team. And you can say, wow, that's probably just because like Anthony Moore and Enes Kanter suck at defense, but he's an okay defender. So
yeah,
he could theoretically plug into that spot and be, you know, a guy who could play decent minutes. Whether he becomes that guy, I don't know. Is he really going to matter that much for the Thunder in the playoffs? He could, but
possibly.
There's also a chance that he's just on the end of the bench.
Yeah, we've seen that before. We've seen, you know, Ronnie Brewer blow in and not accomplish much. We've seen Caron Butler come in and get overused. So
yes.
You know, it's I'm not getting too fired up about it just yet.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely need more time to see how he fits with this team. And his passing skills, too, is something that this team has been desperate for the whole season. So he's a yep. guy who can just do a little bit of everything, but not really that well. So
right.
let's talk about what I got you on here to talk about is buyout candidates. Please walk us through the process of how do guys get bought out, and then what do the Thunder have to offer these guys?
So we've seen it. I mean, the season has already started. Basically, after the trade deadline through March 1st, you know, players that are waived by March 1st are eligible to be picked up and be playoff eligible for another team. So we saw that already. Anderson Varejão traded from Cleveland, went to Portland. That was purely to dump money. Portland waived him, and he got picked up by Golden State. David Lee negotiated his buyout with Boston. And, you know, if you'll notice, you know, if you follow the Twitter feed, you'll see David Lee waived by Boston. And then about a microsecond later, David Lee expected to sign with Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay. let's not assume that like that just happened that instant.
Right.
I assume that there is all sorts of back channel communication that, you know, teams are working with each other to get a player into a better position, even if it doesn't involve a trade.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is fairly common around the NBA that a lot of times, you know, these players have their next destination lined up before they hit the waiver wire. So that's the thing I always look at. So, and now as far as Oklahoma City goes, apparently they expressed interest in Anderson Varejão. The thing is, Golden State could offer him a role. Like, he's actually going to get playing time.
Right.
Especially with Festus Ezeli injured, Andrew Bogut dealing with some nagging issues. And obviously, they're the best team in the league and offer him probably the best chance at getting a title, which he is, you know, after putting up with what he did in Cleveland for so long, the dude deserves something. So,
yeah, for sure.
can't fault him for that. If he would have come to the Thunder, obviously the minutes weren't there. I think his presence probably was more what they were banking on, you know, and then maybe in spot duty here or there. But obviously, there's just a better opportunity for him in Golden State.
Yeah, it made no sense for him to come to Oklahoma City.
No, again, I think the Thunder organization probably admires him as a player and as a person. And again, if there was an injury that happened, he would have been a nice fallback. But
sure.
As of now, he's going to Golden State, and he's going to get playing time, which he had trouble getting in Cleveland. So now, Oklahoma City, basically, they have the taxpayer mid-level exception because they haven't used it yet this season. They haven't really had a reason to. So it's sitting around. It's been prorating since January 10th. I don't know the exact number. It's probably worth about $2 million-ish at this point. But basically, they can offer more than the prorated minimum salary at this point. For your typical tenure veteran, I think for the rest of the season, it would be, what, $200,000 to $300,000
right.
For the rest of the season. The Thunder can beat any offer if it comes down to that. Now, the one thing the Thunder do need to be mindful of is the luxury tax, because They did save quite a bit of money in moving Steve Novak at the trade deadline. They are in the second tier of tax. Basically, they're a little over $8.8 million over the tax line. That puts them in the second bracket. So, you know, every dollar they spend is going to cost them $1.75 in tax. So they're about a little under $1.2 million underneath that tier. If they go to the next tier, then the tax gets higher. So I think they kind of have an incentive to stay in that, you know, bracket number two. But still, you know, if they have $1.1 million to offer, that's going to trump basically anyone else's offer. So I just got to throw that out there for shopping reasons why, well, what they may be thinking when it comes to some of these buyout candidates.
Yeah, and tell our listeners what this, what the next tier is. What number would put them to that next tier?
Yeah, so the bracket number one is if you're $0 to $5 million over the tax, you're charged $1.50 for every dollar. So, you know, if you're $5 million over the tax, it's a tax penalty of $7.5 million. Mm-hmm. If you spill over into the next bracket, it's $1.75 for every dollar. And that's just for that, you know, $5 to $10 million bracket. So you could rack up $7.5 million in charges and then $8.75 million in charges in addition, you know, by going into that next bracket. If you go into bracket number three, it's $2.50 for every dollar.
Yeah.
which is where all those savings came in by dealing Novak, because right. they were into that third bracket, and that got them out of there. So, and it, I mean, it goes up to 3.25 for every dollar, 3.75 for every dollar. You know, those are the brackets like that the Brooklyn Nets were in a few years ago, and Cleveland is, you know, somewhere in there by now. So,
and Miami was there, but then they were able to get out of there, right?
Yeah, and Miami was subject to the repeater tax. That was right. their whole motivation for getting out of that, and why they spent the trade deadline, you know, moving and, you know, shuffling guys here and there, because they wanted to get out of the repeater. So if they do, you know, they've accomplished it, and they're likely to accomplish it this season. If they do it again next year, then they don't have to worry about the repeater tax again for a few years, and they can kind of restart that clock.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get to some guys that are rumored to be buyout candidates. Some of these guys have already been bought out. And then we can talk about like the chances of the Thunder getting these guys. The first guy is a guy we just hear about all the time. Like everybody talks about this guy, and it's Joe Johnson. There aren't exactly like definite rumors out there that he's actually going to be bought out. He even came out and said that he didn't really care about being bought out. Mm-hmm. So it's even a question whether that would happen. But let's say it happens today. He's on the open market. He clears. He's going to clear waivers. Nobody's going to pick up his contract.
No one has $24 million in a room right. to pick him off waivers. No.
So where does he go?
Yeah, all indications are that apparently Cleveland is the spot for him. Mm-hmm. I think there were rumors of him being traded to Cleveland back in the summer, that the Cavs were trying to package up enough salaries to go get him as well, and, you know, for a number of reasons that didn't come through. Joe's not having a good year. I mean, is he 35 now? 34 or 35?
I have to check that, but
he's 34. Okay, so he's just a smidge younger than what I thought. He turns 35 in June, it looks like. So, yeah, but he's having a rough year. And so I just wonder if this is – how much can he actually help? And that's the other thing to keep in mind with these buyout candidates is, you know, how often do teams actually pick up an impact role player through the buyout process here after the trade deadline? It doesn't happen very often. There's a lot more, you know, just roster filler than there are actual rotation guys.
Mm-hmm. Not everybody's PJ Brown.
Exactly. Yeah, and even PJ Brown wasn't waived. I mean, he was in retirement.
That's right.
And then popped up with the Celtics there. So yeah, he wasn't even bought out at first. So
they could try to. I guess we could call Ray Allen and see.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sure he's got nothing else going on. He's only 42 years old. Hadn't shot a basketball in 2 years.
That's right. but yeah, I mean, I think Joe Johnson would be a nice fit, and at least just a guy that you just try. I think the Thunder at this point are like they've got to find somebody they can trust to shoot the basketball at the wing position during the playoffs, and he's certainly worth it. But like you said, like if Cleveland has the upper hand, like he's going to go to Cleveland. Like he knows, like these guys know the landscape of the NBA. Regardless of even playing time, to him, he's probably like, you know, my best shot to get to the finals is certainly the Cavs. And then beyond that, like if the Golden State Warriors had a spot, they could offer him a spot, and he'd just be like, "Yeah, I'll ride to the championship with you guys."
Right.
And he looks at the Thunder, and he's like, "Well, man, I don't know. Like,
yeah,
like what? Like, there's not exactly a clear path to having playing time there. I mean, there's a lot of really bad shooting guards on the Thunder, but is there a path to playing for sure? Like, I don't know." Like, I don't know what he's going to look like in a good setting at all. He's, like you said, he's had a bad year for the Nets. But he does provide shooting and passing. He's not a good defender. He never really was a great defender. He's certainly not today. Mm-hmm. So he's not – I mean, people are looking at him like he could be, like, the savior for Oklahoma City. Like, he's not that. Like, please don't characterize him as that, because he's not that. But he could be a valuable rotation piece if it gets that far.
Yeah. And again, Cleveland's got two roster spots open. Amon Shumpert is hurt right now. Cleveland basically did not have a point guard yesterday against Oklahoma City. I mean,
it was LeBron.
It was LeBron. And they've got Richard Jefferson and James Jones on the wings there. So there are minutes to be had in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So that one just seems to make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next guy, Kevin Martin.
Of course.
I mean, are there buyout rumors flying around about him right now?
I mean, they've been out there for a while. I mean, even before the trade deadline, because I mean, Minnesota has done some strange things this season with, you know, deciding, oh, we're moving towards the future and we're going to set our starting lineup this way. Then, oops, we changed our mind. Tayshaun Prince, get out there. Yeah. And you know, Kevin Martin has been kind of put in the starting lineup and taken out, put on the bench, put back into the rotation. Mm-hmm. Very bizarre. So, I mean, it hasn't been an ideal situation for him. And that's why I cut him a bit of slack on his numbers. Because again, Sam Mitchell has jerked him around quite a bit. Right. And I think he's, you know, probably trying to handle that as best as he can. From what I've read, I mean, he doesn't seem to have a burning desire to get out of Minnesota. I think it would have to be the right situation opened up before he would do that. And one of the big drivers, he's under contract for over $7 million next season. Mm-hmm. He's not likely to recoup that. He can't just give that up. Right. And contrary to belief, I mean, a lot of people think that NBA players just play to get championship rings or, you know, a chance for a title. No, guys want to play and get paid. This is their career. So I think Martin probably still wants to find that opportunity. So like I said, the rumors have been out there. People have speculated that if he wasn't moved by the deadline, that they would probably, you know, look to open buyout discussions. But, you know, since the trade deadline, I haven't heard like that's definitely the case. But people are just kind of connecting some dots here.
Yeah. I'm not really sure if he's the same guy that he was in Oklahoma City back in 2013. It's been a while. He hasn't shot 40% since he left the Thunder from three. But I just have, you just have to think, like, if Waiters can't score, then you might as well just have Andre Robertson out there as your starting two. And you really, like, they just need guys that they can count on, or guys that can come in and fill that role. We know that Martin can shoot. We know that he can do a little bit of playmaking. Mm-hmm. And he was really good in that six-man role for the Thunder a few years ago. So I think it'd be a guy that they definitely look at. And if they can get him, you know, just for the rest of this year for $1 million, I think that it would definitely be worth a flyer. He's probably better than Anthony Morrow at this point. He is better at a lot of things better than Dion Waiters at a lot of things. I feel like on the wing, it's been, can you play defense has kind of been the first question that you ask. And are you an effective defender? And that's why I feel like Anthony Morrow just hadn't even got a shot this year to play consistent minutes. And I just don't know what Donovan would think about Kevin Martin, who, I mean, he's just flat out a bad defensive shooting guard.
Yeah, you know, Martin's been a guy that's been able to overcome his bad defense by being such a productive offensive player.
Right.
You know, if you're an abomination on one end, but, you know, I mean, look at Enes Kanter, right? That was the whole narrative. He doesn't play defense. Like, he's a high-volume scorer and rebounder. Okay,
well, Jamal Crawford, too.
Jamal Crawford, exactly. So, I do think that there's a spot where Kevin Martin could still thrive in this league, you know, for a while longer. He is a bit injury-prone, and there's a lot of reasons why I think he probably makes sense back in Oklahoma City. That's the one. If I had any money to bet, I would probably take a little bit of that and place it on the Thunder bringing him back. Mm-hmm. I think it just makes a lot of sense. I know that, you know, the Thunder worked with Martin and his agent to get him to Minnesota whenever the, you know, when they just couldn't re-sign him or couldn't come to terms. Mm-hmm. So I think the relationship is solid. And I think that I think he enjoyed being here. I think his teammates enjoyed him. So for a number of reasons, I think maybe that might be a fit, especially, you know, like you just discussed, just the bench struggles to produce outside of Enes Kanter.
Yeah, I think he makes sense. It'd be somebody to watch over this next week to see if he does get bought out. What are some other destinations for Martin? I mean, I think obviously the Warriors would probably be interested in having another shooter. Just because they want to have all of them.
Yeah, it seems like they do. I don't know. You know, who would they clear off? Would they dump Ian Clark or James McAdoo? I mean, those maybe are guys that, you know, I think that are either quasi-producing for them now or they kind of have hopes for in the future. So
yeah. I was kind of surprised that they just dumped Jason Thompson. Not that he hasn't played for them this year and hasn't been any good, but that's just something I would have never even considered at the beginning of the year.
Right.
And they're stretching his contract.
Yeah, because I think only, 2 point something of that was guaranteed next season.
Right.
So they get to take that and stretch that over 3 years, which opens up just even more cap room for them. So
right.
While they go shopping for a certain somebody.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, you know, Kevin Martin, you got to think about the Clippers, although I don't really know if there's a role for him there, and I don't know how well he's performed against Doc Rivers in the past.
Right.
Obviously, that's a huge factor.
Yeah, because is he better than Jamal Crawford? I mean, Jamal Crawford's definitely older.
Right.
Would he play over him? I would say no.
I would say probably not. I don't know if there's an Eastern Conference team where Martin makes a lot of sense. I mean, Boston's got a roster spot, but
they've got too many. All their wings are better than Kevin Martin, probably.
Yeah, but definitely. They're
all just slightly better.
Yeah, I mean, they've got plenty of guys there. I don't see a spot for them. So,
yeah.
I mean, I've struggled to find another team that the Thunder would have to compete against.
So. Right. I mean, Cleveland is. I mean, if Joe Johnson doesn't get bought out, like Cleveland mm-hmm. would be a competitor for sure.
Right. Yeah,
he seems like a total Mav to me too for some reason.
Well, yeah, there is that. I mean, there was a report that the Mavericks would be interested. Now that was before they went and got David Lee,
right?
And the Mavericks would have to waive another guaranteed contract in order to sign Kevin Martin. So I don't know, you know, looking at the other guys on the roster, I don't know who else that they would sacrifice in order to do that.
Yeah, I don't know either. But yeah, interesting guy. I think that
he
would be, obviously he'd be a good fit. He's been a good fit in the past, and it would be nice to see a guy who can be a little more consistent off the bench.
Yeah.
Chris Copeland is a guy we've discussed because he's been rumored to come here before. He was waived by the Bucks so that they could pick up Steve Novak. Is he even worth our time?
I honestly don't know. I mean, I threw him out there simply because apparently the Spurs, Bucks, and Thunder were interested in him over the summer.
Right.
So if they had interest then, maybe they still do. But, you know, he wasn't doing much in Milwaukee this season. Copeland's best years, I think, were his first 2 years in the league with Indiana. And it hasn't really given a whole lot. And he's 31 years old. So I don't know. That's one of those out of left field types that
sure. –
Who knows? If the Thunder can't find anyone else, you know, if all these other options pass them by, maybe they do turn to a guy like that just to see what he's got.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a chance. Mike Miller, who's with the Nuggets, it's a chance he could be bought out. I'm not sure that he can really move anymore, but he is, like you said, he's BFFs with Billy D, and that matters.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, you know, and we've been teased with that possibility for so long. It would seem right that he would come here when he has absolutely nothing left to give. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, just, you know, when you add up the fact that obviously he's close with Billy Donovan, he's got two championship rings. I mean, he checks a lot of boxes, even if he can't really contribute anything on the floor.
Yeah.
But I think part of the reason why he went to Denver in the first place is because he wanted to play. Yep. So. I don't know if he would give that up to come here to Oklahoma City and not play. So, again, that might be another one of those. If options A, B, and C fall through, maybe they look at something like that.
A couple other Bucks guys. O.J. Mayo. Man.
Yeah.
Just looking at his numbers, it's bad.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. And, you know, again, I know that OJ doesn't strike me as what they would call the Thunder guy.
Right.
You know, guys that, you know, check your ego at the door and get together and we play as a team. And there's a lot of things about OJ that don't exactly scream that. So, but again, I mean, you just never know. I would not think that's very likely. Mm-hmm. But as I was, you know, looking across the league and looking at, okay, who could get bought out and why would teams want to do that? You know, the Bucks have got some young guards. They're like 6.5 games out of the playoff spot, out of the 8th spot in the East. So they're done. So maybe they could look at something like that. But does he actually fit in on OKC? I wouldn't really think so.
Yeah, I'd be surprised. Although I did like him earlier this year before I took a deeper dive into his statistics. He just... And he's not a Thunder. You're right. He's just not a Thunder guy. So I would be surprised. This next guy, I think if he is bought out, I think he might be the best of all these guys because he's actually had a pretty decent season. Jared Bayless.
Yeah. And again, the only reason why I included him is he's in the last year of his contract, $3 million. So, I mean, that's one where the Bucks could buy him out and he could recoup that money with Oklahoma City. You know, 6'3 guard who is shooting over 40% from three this year. I pulled up his shot chart on Vorped.com.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the 3-point line, he's 46.9% from one corner, 43 from the other corner. He's 58% from the right corner. I kind of like the look of a lot of that. So,
yeah.
If the Bucks didn't, you know, if Bayless decided that he wanted to try to get out, and if the Bucks wanted to open up some playing time for Tyler Ennis or Rashad Vaughn, that's his name, the rest of the season, you know, maybe that's something that could actually come to fruition.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic. Last buyout candidate we'll talk about, bring it back, Perk.
That's right. Pretty please make this happen.
Oh boy, I'd do it. I'd do it today. I'd give him all the money.
I probably sounded sarcastic when I said that. I'm not kidding. I would not be opposed if he could come in and start. You know, just come in and at least start holding guys accountable in the locker room like he used to. So I am all over that. He's on a veteran minimum contract with the Pelicans. Who are they're floundering? At one point, earlier this season, Perk came out and said this isn't what he signed up for. So maybe it could happen, but I don't know. They obviously need help on the floor.
Yeah,
and I don't know if they would look at the locker room guy that seriously when they really need to address how that bench is performing.
Yeah, I'd be surprised, but I think that the Thunder would probably like to just have him back for the reasons that you said. I mean, it's really unlikely that they'll bring back like a super impact guy. So if you can bring back a guy who is going to be a very good practice player for a guy like Cantor and Adams, and just be able to basically be an assistant coach
and call players out on their crap.
Yeah,
I think so.
So yeah, that'd be interesting. We solicited some questions from Twitter, so let's go over maybe a few of these questions that we have. Will the Thunder ever win again? This is from Boom_TownBoom.
Yeah, I have my doubts. it is quite possible that the and of course I think Boomtown's being a little facetious there, so I appreciate
is
that.
He?
But yeah, but I mean, if you look at the rest of the schedule, there's a chance that they could shatter records and never win again.
Yeah,
They would still finish over. Would they finish at 500 if they did that? No, they would be under 500.
They would be. That would be. That would just. I don't even know what. I don't even know what to talk. I have nothing to say about that. at Okietide says, does Presti value long term team sustainability over immediate success?
The question up to this point has been yes, and I don't think there's any doubt about that. All the moves that have been made, all this time, have been to build something that would last for multiple years. That's not unusual because San Antonio has been doing that. If you look at teams like Miami, their strategy has been, you know, boom and bust. It was great that they got the big three together. They went to four finals, won two of them. But then whenever the luxury tax became a thing and they had to cut Mike Miller, that team started falling apart. So, right. That is why this team has been so carefully managed. But I do think that they're in a different phase of building the team now, to where they may be a little more willing to go get a short-term guy to fill in a spot that they have been in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Let's see. A lot of people talking about Dion Waiters evacuating the island. I'm here to stay. I'm living here on Waiters Island. My bike shop is burned down around me currently, but we will rebuild.
It is low tide right now, buddy.
It is. at Rach585 asks, basically, is Andre Roberson going to be a difference maker when he comes back?
He's going to help, despite what a lot of people think. You've brought up all the Vantage stats before that, you know, show in what ways he's a good defender. So
he's very good.
He's very good. So yes, he will help. However, that being said, he's going to help at most 20 minutes a night. So
yeah, definitely. And at LittleBit77. Should Donovan use this time to experiment with new lineups, start Foy, try Roberson on the second unit, stuff like that?
You know, it's interesting. In the coach's pregame press conference yesterday, I mean, he was asked about Randy Foy and the possibility of starting, and Donovan's response was basically, well, we need to see what we've got first, you know, before you can really tell. Maybe they work him in and realize, oh my gosh, he makes a lot of sense in the starting unit. Let's put him there. I thought it was interesting that he at least left the door open for that possibility. But, you know, clearly they need to see what they have first.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he started. Like, I would be
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you on that. But, I mean, it could very well be that they find, oh my gosh, that the bench works a lot better with him, and he's going to get a lot of playing time over Kyle Singler or even Deion Brothers.
Yeah. These next few weeks will be interesting. The Thunder, they've got, you know, they got Dallas and the Pelicans. The Pelicans actually have been playing well. And they have Golden State again. So this next, we're going to see some things in this next week, and whether or not the Thunder can rebound and if they can kind of come back emotionally and stuff like that is yet to be seen. But
because a lot of the issues, and I know a lot of people, of course, are on the edge right now because it was a bad loss yesterday.
It was bad.
And you know, I have been Mr. Brightside all season. If I've gone and done my you know, Thunder reports, or I've done my post game shows, I mean, I've been preaching it's one of 82. Mm-hmm. You can't hang too much emphasis on one game. Yesterday, the effort was lacking. Now, there may be some legitimate reasons for that that are just human nature, and they're going to overcome that eventually. But honestly, that's what I feel like at this point. This team is capable of scoring offensively the best with anyone in the league. It's just when their effort is not there on the defensive end, or the focus isn't there, is when they really get picked apart.
Yeah. You have to believe that there's some kind of human element within this. And then it's also just, they've just got to be better. And they can be.
Absolutely.
We've seen them be better, but it's at some point we need to see them be better against the best competition.
It seems like forever ago they beat the Clippers on the road.
Right.
You know? They have pulled off those things before, but overall it still is a little bit alarming how they've had trouble beating the better teams in the league and the Eastern Conference. I just don't know what the kryptonite is there that's affecting them.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't help that a lot of players are like slumping crazily right now. Like Deion can't hit anything, Yeah. I mean, a lot of people talk about him like he's just like the worst player in the world. Like, this guy actually had a really nice stretch in January and played really well on both ends and was very productive and meaningful to this team. And I don't think that – I just don't expect Donovan to just throw that away immediately because he had two really crap games.
Exactly.
So everyone that is like excited for some people are like almost excited that he's been so bad and like, okay, now he's finally going to get benched. Like the Thunder have a bigger, they're looking at this not from like close up, they're, you know, 10,000 feet in the air.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
trying to make sure that they're not going to do something just stupid and rash that most fans would want.
Yeah, and I mean, this is, you know, this is true of a lot of sports fans. We're not just picking on Thunder fans, but there's across the league. If, you know, fans manage teams, oh my God, you know, it would be reactionary.
You know what they would all look like? They would all look like the Nets.
Yeah, they would. Yes, they would. That is the perfect example of a Twitter run basketball team, or the Kings.
Yes, it would be. You're like, all right, I'm making all these moves. We're gonna get great. Oh no. Oh,
yeah.
No. What, you mean I don't have another draft pick until when?
Right.
Like, what?
And believe me, if I played fantasy basketball and I had Dion Waiters, I would have benched him a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what you do in fantasy basketball. But in real life, guys have got to get through this. And that's why even when I tweeted out earlier his shooting struggles, I pointed out where they were in January. I mean, his numbers were a lot better. And the one thing I don't think you can fault Dion on is effort. I mean, yesterday he was, even against Indiana, the dude was giving effort on the defensive end. And, and he was, that was rare for the team yesterday. Yep. So.
Well, John, thanks for coming on the podcast. We can follow you on Twitter at John M. Hamm. You can follow us at DTD Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTD Podcast and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.